Okay, so this is what we're working on from 3 o'clock to 3:30 every day. It's called inner calm. Inner calm. Now, what we're trying to establish is not just moments of calm, although that is the first step. We need to be able to have time when we're alone and we can calm ourselves down. As we said before, most people when they're alone, they can't calm themselves down. That's very difficult for them to be alone because they start overthinking and all their stuff comes up. So most people spend their time distracting themselves. So we said we've got to be alone without distracting ourselves. Alone nowadays is defined by me as a 5-minute walk away from your phone. If you're a 5-minute walk away from your phone, you could be considered alone. Your phone is the five. It would take you 5 minutes to get to your phone from where you are sitting. Isn't that crazy that people are like, what? Is my phone on or off at that? It's amazing that it's even a thing. Isn't that? Pardon?
Without music, nothing.
What sort of music? No, I said at first if you've got an MP3 player or something to take with you to play some calming music. But that's still a tool. We want to get to a place where we're just okay being quiet. So what we're trying to do is be calm. Just be calm. How much of the day do you just feel calm and peace of mind? I'm just basically how you'd say it in words is everything's okay. Everything's okay now. I'm not struggling up. I'm not falling down. I'm just chilled. We've all had that moment in your life where you finished lunch and you finished your work and you were just on the beach or something and just for that moment you're on the beach, you're just like, everything's okay. That's what like vacation is. People go and they kill themselves and then for 10 days a year they go to Corfu and they get to the beach and they're just like, ah, just so good. And I'm good. So that's not what we're trying to achieve. What we're trying to achieve is a lifestyle of inner calm. A lifestyle of inner calm. It's not something that we go to when we need it to survive. It's something that we're living with. And by the way, that doesn't mean boring. You can live a life of immense invigoration and vitality. A mover and shaker. You could be on the stock exchange. You could be... That's okay. We're not saying go and be a librarian and your life should be like that. That's not what I'm saying. But your whole being is immensely stable. You're just very stable. Very in control and very balanced. A very balanced, stable human being. I ran a meditation this morning in the Waldorf Hotel. I don't know if you've ever even walked into the Waldorf Hotel, but anyway, it was for a group of 25 middle-aged women. And I did this whole meditation for them. And I brought lavender oil and we listened to the traffic and the bird. It was a very deep, because we got a balcony at the Waldorf Hotel.
But I'm saying that's like relaxing.
That's what there was. Part of the thing was don't let the external world dictate you. So yes, if you're sitting there listening and you're like, that's a car horn and I don't like that, that's bad. Oh, there's a bird. Birds are nice. That's really... Then you're just still being smashed around by the waves of the external world. We want you to come to a place of equanimity. Equanimity, hishtavut in Hebrew, meaning that I am my center of being and I'm not letting the external world dictate how I feel. So what we did was, I said, just hear, rather than immediately jumping to judge that sound as good or bad, I like it, just let it be a sound. Why are we putting layers of judgment on everything that we experience all the time? Just hear it. Just let it go. And it's very, very important, by the way, for when you have children. Like, so if you come to me for Shabbos lunch, it happened this lunch, one of my guests was like, Rabbi, don't you hear that? And I was like, what? And she's like, I think your sons are killing each other upstairs. And I was like, oh yeah. And there was my sons were like screaming, like, rah! And they're like jumping, laughing, and rah! And that she said, I can't concentrate. And I was like, I pasha did not hear them. I just did not hear. Now, obviously, if they were in serious danger, then I would have been a bad father. No, I would have heard it. But you know what I mean? And by the way, this comes to a much higher level, where if you can just take whatever sound that comes as a sound without your whole judgment system on the sound, then you won't get insulted by people anymore. Praise and insult will just be the same to you. You'll be like, okay, that's the sound. So we sat there and we just listened to all the sounds, and it turns into surround sound. You could start hearing little voices that you wouldn't have heard. And then I told them, listen to the silence between the sounds. We should really go and do this on the roof. Maybe next week we're having a teal. Maybe every Tuesday will be a teal day. Next week we'll go on the roof, just listen to all the sounds, and it starts becoming surround sound, and then you hear the car horn that normally you'd be like, no, that's ruining my meditation. You just hear bam, but then you hear it sink back into silence. And then another sound comes, but it came from silence, and it went back into silence.
What about droning sounds?
Pardon?
What about droning sounds, which are just constantly there?
Yeah, eventually they're not there so much. Why is that annoying you?
Yeah,
okay, so just hear, fighting the reality isn't going to help. Either move, or just you can. It's called reframing, by the way. You can completely reframe. I had a friend, he got an apartment, and it was very cheap, but he lived with three other guys, but the pipe from the toilet went through his room. So every time someone flushed the toilet, all the water went through this pipe through his room, and it was very disturbing for him. So I was like, okay, so you've got three options. And by the way, these are always your three options. If you're in a situation that is difficult, if you have a bad boss, or if it's raining when you wanted to go to a hike, or if anything's not going how you want it to go, you have three healthy options. Number one is change something. Talk to your boss and say, I don't like how you're treating me. Doesn't work. That usually doesn't help. And if it's raining, you can't change that. The raining is the raining. But the first thing is, if you can do something about it and change the situation, change the situation. Second, so what he could re-pipe the pipelines and make it go out the window. So that would have been an option, but you can't do that. Second healthy option in any situation which is difficult for you is leave. Leave that job. Leave that room, go and find another place. That's okay. If you can't change it and you can't leave, you can't change your boss and you need the money, or you can't re-pipe the pipes and you can't leave there because you can't afford anything else, the only other healthy option is to change yourself, to be okay with it, to accept it. Now, what most people do is option number four, which is stay and complain and be miserable. That's not a healthy option. It's the easiest one, by the way. But it's not a healthy option. So I said to him, watch this. Imagine every time you hear the flush, that what's actually happening is you're flushing away all your negativity. All of your negativity, and even your negativity about the pipe itself, but your negativity about your girlfriend or anything in your life, just the flush comes and it could be used as a mindfulness tool. Flush away negativity. And then he really got that. And he did it. And it was like he really started to enjoy the thing until he could move. But for that point, you do. What we need to learn to do, by the way, it's a very high level of changing habits, is you can use your bad habits to create new good habits. What do I mean by that? How many times a day do you think you check WhatsApp or something just compulsively? You just checked it 2 minutes ago. You know that you checked your emails 2 minutes ago. You basically know for a fact you don't have another one, but you check it anyway.
2000.
Or there you go. Really, most people 75 times a day. 75 times a day, or it's even more for email. It's even more. But you're checking your phone 75 to 125 times a day. You don't need to do that, really. It's just compulsive. Whatever. I had a meeting with someone, a one-on-one in the Beis Midrash, and for whatever reason I was distracted. I had to speak to someone else, or something happened, And immediately when, because we had stopped talking, he went for his phone. There was one moment of he'd have to wait for me, but what do I do in that one moment? Phone. So we're using phone as immense crutch nowadays. So what you need to do is train yourself to once a day, and then more hopefully, once a day when you reach for your phone to check the WhatsApp, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, something, once a day, see yourself reaching for it, stop yourself, and instead of doing that, take a few deep breaths and go deeper into yourself. Do some of the things that we're doing here. Talk to Hashem. So now you're actually using the negative habit as a stimulus and a reminder to do the positive thing that you want to do. And then you'll just completely switch out, hopefully. So it's very good to be able to listen to noises and just let them. We need to realize something very important. You are walking around non-stop commenting on everything you see all the time. There's a tree. I like trees. I had a tree in my garden. My ex-girlfriend likes trees. I hate my ex-girlfriend. She's just the whole time, really. You go down to lunch. What's for lunch today? I hope. Who is in there? Who's saying all that stuff? What's for lunch? No, I don't think you should eat too much now. Who's talking? Someone talking. We're non-stop commenting on everything that's happening to you the whole time. Why? You got to understand that 95% of what's going through your mind is just completely useless. I hope it's not going to rain tomorrow. What? What's the point of hoping it's not going to rain tomorrow? Are you an idiot? It's like my son starting to learn chess, Benjamin. And at one point he was like, "Ah, Abba, I just wish that piece wasn't there." I was like, "I hear that, Benjamin." But wishing it wasn't there it is there, Benjamin. We got to. In chess, there's no point wishing. Do what you have to do based on what is there. I wish that pipeline with the toilet thing wasn't going through my bedroom. Why do you wish that? What's the point of wishing that? You're going to sit there all day wishing that? What an idiot. It's a waste of time. I wish I had three legs. Stop wishing. Just do what you need to deal with it.
Doesn't it like sort of calm the brain?
Not at all. What? Hoping that it won't rain tomorrow is not calming you down. Wishing that that piece wasn't there, what's that doing? Is it not helping him be calm? Not helping him play the
hope, maybe. I don't know. If you're hoping that it's not going to rain tomorrow...
Hope, by definition, is uncalming. In a way, there is a different type of hope, which is just a positive attitude, you know. But even that, a positive attitude is, I'm sure it will be. It's not that hoping. Hoping is hopeless. Hoping is hopeless. Wishing is wishful. I had a good one this morning. I was like, surrender is serenity. Surrender. Surrender brings serenity. Did you have a question? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
If you hope, I mean, you could plan your day around the hope, I guess. Like, you could...
No. If it rains, I'll do this. If it doesn't rain, I'll do that. Hoping it doesn't rain, what do you mean? I'm going to plan my day around hoping it doesn't rain. If it rains, I'll do this. If it doesn't, I'll do that. Hopeless. Most of what you're thinking most of the time, completely useless. Completely useless.
So what should one be thinking
this? Firstly, you should be going deeper into yourself, breathing, to think what practically needs to get done, or to think about God, really. Well, like, think about things that help you. How about that? Think about things that serve a purpose. And what is the purpose? To become a calm, loving, healthy, conscious human being, those things you can think about. The other things, do I know anything about that? If only, how about that one? If only, don't even go there. As soon as your mind, that voice in your head starts saying, if only, be like, nope, zip, 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 zip. If only, what do you mean if only? If only I hadn't. If only I hadn't done that. If only I had done that. You didn't, man. Now, to have one thought, oh, I should have done it differently, so I'll do it differently in the future. That's okay, because that's doing something. But just to say, if only I'd worked harder for my exams. If only I'd just worked harder for my exam. If only. You can have that thought once. If only I worked hard my exam. Feel I let myself down. Okay, how do I do better in my next exam? That's it. So you've got to be very, very careful for what's happening. So just listening to sounds without putting a whole commentary on everything all the time. Wow, I hope people are enjoying my class. What do they think of me? Well, they're writing notes, so that's quite good. He seems a bit bored. Maybe I'm not a good teacher. And, you know, well, you know what? It's not that I'm not a good teacher. It's just it's after lunch, so he ate too much, so he got a bit tired, and he's let down. But, you know, Moshe Chaim's after me, and he's a better teacher than me. Maybe people are just here because they're, hey, why? Why are you doing that? You just got this whole world happening. Stop it. So as soon as I notice my voice in my head just doing whatever it does, I'm like, whoa, it's okay, man. It's okay. We're okay. So what we want to do is be living a lifestyle of serenity. A lifestyle of serenity where I'm not really thinking things I don't need to think. Let's try not to overthink. Unless you think it's going to help. Something happened the other day, and they're like, aren't you worried? And I was like, well, you know what? If I thought worrying would help, then I'd worry. But I don't think worrying is going to help, so I'm going to not do that. No? Easier said than done. Okay, so I'm teaching you methods to do that. Easier said than done, loser. List of loser phrases. Write it. List of loser phrases. Easier said than number one. Easier said than done. Loser. Don't say that. Yes.
How do you go about calming the voice in your head?
Well, come to my class every day, 3 to 3.30. So far what we've said, most of our classes so far have been going through your direct sensory experience, which means your five senses. Do things that calm your five senses. Lavender oil, listening to soft music, warm shower, maybe. Just things that just calm you down. But once again, for most people, those things are coping mechanisms that we implement when we're feeling overwhelmed. You've got to not get to that place where they're overwhelmed, so you're suddenly like, right, where's the lavender oil? You can't be like some lavender oil addict. It's probably better than what you were before, to be fair. It's a step up, but still, you don't want to be some like... It's got to be a way of life. It's not like I'm drowning, I'll grab onto something. It's like I'm not ever getting to that point. By the way, for all of your emotions and everything you're going through, you need an inner gauge. If you're a person who suffers from anger, you have to know, and by the way, most people do, you have to know when anger is coming. You see it, catch it at its early stages. Often it's the same situation. Every time I see my dad, I know this is going to happen. Or every time there's a... You're going to be aware of what situations are going to trigger that. And you've got to know your own gauge. And at that point, step back. Calm yourself down. Have a positive phrase. Yeah.
What was the thing that you told us to do yesterday?
Oh, we went to the H meditation room and I ran a guided meditation. It was very cool. Really, yesterday was about breathing, and every time you breathe, you just say to yourself, I'm going deeper into myself. And dive into the immensely deep wellspring of your inner world, which is pure and calm. It's nice. It's nice in there. By the way, it's muscle memory as well. So let's say you do 3 to 5 minutes in the morning. Then it just takes one little smell of lavender oil or one little smile or one little to bring you back into that state of mind. You can bring yourself back. Bring yourself back. Look at the blue sky. Very important one. Look at the blue sky. Take time. So far what we've really said is, number one, the immense, immense, vital, essential importance of you taking 2 to 3 minutes a day to be alone and practice this. Immensely important. I would go so far as to say it's the most important thing in your life. If your mind creates your reality, then the most important thing in your life is to learn to control and use your mind correctly. Clearly. Now, what's more important, brushing your teeth or practicing things like this? I think so. So if you brush your teeth for 2 minutes every morning, surely you can find 2 minutes to do this. But brushing my teeth is much easier than doing it. I know. Tis easier. This is the most important, it's the most vital thing you could do in your whole life. By the way, for your davening and for your parenting, if you're going to freak out with your kids every time you get upset, you know, that's awful. And for your marriage and for your Torah learning, for every single aspect of your life, you need to be have this centered place of calm. You can't be smashed around the whole time by what's happening to you. Can't be. Most people are complete puppets and slaves to the external world. You don't understand that. So much is happening the whole time. I got to lunch. I came to lunch too late, and there was no food. Okay, it's all right. You'll survive. You'll be okay. I got to mincha too late. That you can be upset about that. You missed the minyan. That I understand. You get upset about that, but you miss lunch. You're gonna get upset about lunch. Now, what do you value? By the way, we've got the holiest place on the face of the planet just down the stairs. I know it means walking all the way back up the stairs. No, I know it's the most holy place on the face of the planet, but do you know it takes 2 minutes to walk up the stairs? If you, as an 18 to 24-year-old, can't take 2 minutes to walk up some stairs to go and pray in the holiest place in the world, that you already got a question what you value and who you are and what vitality you have. No, I'll just dump from up here, I can see it. It's in fact, it's a better view. I have more.
It's very distracting out there.
Distracting?
You get people.
But you're a person who doesn't get distracted. No, they can say, point. What you can do is, but you don't get to that point by avoiding it. I run this meditation mindfulness thing, and people say, look, I've just got so much going on in my life at the moment, I just can't do it. What they're saying is, I'm waiting until I have some peace of mind to be able to work on having peace of mind. You're an idiot. Don't do that. Go and put yourself in there. Put yourself in there, and that's how you work on it. You work on it by exposing yourself to it.
So you should meditate there?
You're 100%. By the way, when you're davening mincha, this is a whole different class now. You're davening mincha in a minyan, and then the guy next to you is coughing and doing all that. And you're like, bang, bang, to contemplate, doesn't he know? And the Zohar said, if you disturb someone else when they're davening, then your prayers aren't heard. He just coughed, man. You're the one who's freaking out in your head. Maybe Hashem doesn't want your Zohar Kabbalistic kavanas. Maybe Hashem wants your good character traits. Oh, he's davening too loudly. Look at him, he's davening too loudly. He's like, wow, there's a Jew davening. Beautiful, I hope he gets what he needs. Well, just completely change your reaction to everything. Well, I need things to go my way, so he's getting in my way. Don't do that. Be like, we always got to look at the good in other people. That also helps a lot, by the way. Stop judging other people. Just find something good. Well, they came. They turned up in a minute. Amazing.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Always look on the bright side of life. Or know how to deal with the dark side of life. There was a big Nigerian man once at the Kotel. And he was standing like this, his hands on the wall of the Kotel. And he was like, Father, Father, touch me one more time. I was going to get him back. Father, touch me one more time. I came to your holy city, Jerusalem. Touch me, Father, one more time. And then this like chassid like nudged me and he was like laughed at him. And I said to the chassid, my friend, when was the last time you davened with that much kavana? You never davened with it. He's mamish speaking to God from the bottom of his heart. When was the last time you did that? Just be that person who's always looking nice and good and find good. If you're going to commentate on everything, make it a nice one. Someone actually came out to me the other day very important. And he said, this happened to me, and well, what does it mean, and what's God saying to me? And I said to him, you know what, whatever it is positive, because God loves you, and whatever message it is. So, you know, you're walking along and you step in, okay, you could be like, right, that means God hates me and I'm mad. You can do that, but you're an idiot. It's like, okay, God wants me to be more careful where I step. That's often the lesson, by the way. Pardon? Yeah. All right, so we didn't actually speak about anything I was going to speak about today, but that always happens. But tomorrow we're going to talk about what I was going to talk about today, maybe. So this class has homework. The homework is to go and spend 2 to 3 minutes alone. That means a 5 minute walk. Now you're just starting this, so I'm going to let you be a 2 minute walk away from your phone, okay?
Can we do it for longer?
This is the baseline. You can do it for 10 hours, 3 miles from your phone. But for now, I'm going to say 3 minutes, a 2 minute walk from your phone, because that's where we're holding at the moment.
On Shabbos?
No. Shabbos is a whole different one. Every single day. I mean, take 2 minutes. If you're going to take 2 minutes to brush your teeth, you take 2 minutes to do this. If you're not taking 2 minutes to brush your teeth, there's other problems. Yeah.
Should you do it in the morning? Or can you do it anytime?
You should do it when you feel most awake and not distracted. But morning is particularly good because it sets the tone for the rest of your day. And it means you can tap back into it during the day. By the way, it should be a consistent thing during the day. Just one, let's say you're going to do 2 or 3 minutes in the morning as your set practice, but then throughout the day you should be taking 1 or 2 conscious breaths because those tap you back into it. It's like muscle memory, you remember it. Don't know, some my friends told me that sometimes, let's say you get very stoned, and then a few hours later you're not so stoned. If you just take one little, it kind of brings back everything. Apparently, that might happen. So it's the same with this meditation stuff. If you get into a real state of meditation, later in the day, you just take 1 or 2 breaths, maybe lavender oil, and you kind of zoom back into that zone.
Where is the other place to meditate?
Well, the truth is, once you learn to not be so distracted, then really anywhere is okay. But until you get there, find somewhere quiet. Go somewhere quiet. And if it's hard to find somewhere quiet, means you've got to be going early hours of the morning. You need to find somewhere early in the morning where there aren't people. Go to the Kotel at 3 o'clock in the morning, not much happening there.
The last few nights.
Oh, yeah, Slichas.
Slichas, I was like, wait a second.
In general,
last
in general, there are places to go and sit and be. I like avoid dangerous places because that. That might not be good for your calm.
What about the Arab ship?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. All right, shkoyach.